Okay, so let's say, so now we are beginning in Meretz Hashem, the bottom of Pei Amud Beis, ADB at the two dots, Aval Isha Achas, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Lo Shana El B'Ksherim. So let's say, so first of all, this entire context of like this idea that one woman could be alone with two men, so this is all assuming we're talking about reputable people. Aval B'Prutzim, Afilu Be'asar Namilo. But again, let's say when you have immoral people, right? So immoral people, so numbers really no longer matter, right? So immoral people, you have to be choshish for immoral activity, no matter what is going on. So the Gemara is listening to this. There was a story of, again, a group that wanted to commit an Adera. So what did they do? The woman feigned her death. She feigned her death, and 10 men carried her out on the funeral bier, ultimately, again, with the intention to sin with her. I'll say, by the way, this is an incredible Moser Haskil. What's the Moser Haskil? You know, when it comes to chait, and you really want something, nothing stands in your way. So remember again, what that tells us is that koach is within us. So the same way in all of us have had situations like this, where I really wanted to commit Navera, it was difficult, but you know what? I mamish summed up the koach. I had zrizos, I had islavos, it was incredible, which is beautiful. I mean, it's not beautiful to sin, but it's beautiful because what that shows me is that energy exists within me. All I need to do is channel that in a different direction. Good. Amar Rabbi Yosef Teda, Tinechabri Be'asara, the Ganadi Kshura Velo Mikhtsvi Me'adadi. So we'll say, see this concept. Sometimes 10 people want to steal a very large beam. So what do? Clever teamwork. I see. See what? Even though the teamwork is for Avera, you could have a concept of people not being embarrassed. The idea that Gemara is trying to tell that over here is that sometimes people are not embarrassed to sin in front of each other. Incredible. So name of Sayele, most of us say, so let's proof to this that sometimes people aren't embarrassed to sin in front of each other. Most will know. So we'll say, remember again, by the Isha Sota, after she's a confirmed Sota, so what has to happen? They have to transport her, they have to take her. She has to go with her husband to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara explains that they give him two Tamdi Chachamim to escort him on the way. Now the Gemara says, why? Tamdi Chachamim, lest the husband is intimate with his wife. Because obviously if he's intimate with her, then that throws off the entire process. Not throws off, it cancels the entire process. So the Gemara says, Tamdi Chachamim in Shid Da'almalo. So it seems to be dafka tamidi chachamim. Why? The Gemara is assuming over here because tamidi chachamim are above temptation, and therefore they're not going to come to sin. So the Gemara says, but regular people know. So the Gemara says, no. Shana tamidi chachamim diyadei top of pei aleph diyadei lasriyei bei. No. We'll say it's not the pshat that tamidi chachamim are above sin. No, to be clear, tamidi chachamim sin. Tamidei Chachamim have Yetzirah. We're going to see plenty of stories like this. But rather, again, Tamidei Chachamim are there. Why? Because, again, if they see the husband is going to go ahead and be intimate with his wife, they know how to give Hasra. Right? They know how to give proper warning to tell them, by the way, A, what you're about to do is Asr. Right? Number two, if you do so, just understand it cancels the entire Sota process. We'll say, Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph, 81A, top line. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Lo Shona Ela Bi'ir. Furthermore, again, this concept that we've seen before, that Allah said that a woman could be alone with two men, so that's only in the city. But if they're traveling, in order to avoid a yichud situation, you need at least three men with one woman. Why? Because they will say, maybe they will have to relieve themselves, and again, they're going to have to go off the road. And it turns out, because if you only have two men and one woman, and they're traveling, if one of them has to relieve themselves, he's going to take leave of the group, go over to the side of the road, and leave behind the man and the woman. And that's a yichud issue. So the Gemara says, let's see a support for this. Again, so yeah, so Shema Yavo Ala Baderech, Trei V'ihu Hatlasa. So the Gemara once again brings a raya, ultimately again from Sota, that when going up to Yerushalayim, again, remember they have three men, because most of Shnei Tamidei Chachamim, we give them two Tamidei Chachamim. So remember again, you have the husband, two Tamidei Chachamim, and the woman. So the Gemara says, Hatzlasa. So the Gemara says, no, same idea. That don't really bring a raya for Yichud from that. That's for a different situation. Hasam, Kihechi Dinehavo Alea Sahadi. Ultimately, again, that's because that's in order for the two Tamidei Chachamim to act as witnesses to give proper hasra, should the husband be in violation of the terms of the sota. Okay, so now the Gemara tells some stories, incredible, incredible stories. Rav Yehuda, Havi Kazli Ba'archa. Rav and Rav Yehuda are walking on the road. So the Gemara says, Hava Kazlo is a sakamayhu. So a woman came onto the road walking in front of them. Amrali Rav Rav Yehuda. So Rav said to Rav Yehuda, you know what? Let's maybe either go around or go in a different way. Dal Kar'ech Mikamei Gehenim. move your feet in front of Gehenna. Rabbi said, what does this mean? So Rav was saying to Rabbi Yehuda that really we shouldn't walk behind a woman because it's not tsanua, it's not modest. Again, Rabbi said, it's really an incredible yisod. What is the Gemara saying? This is important. Like, a man is a man, and a man has certain desires, and a man has certain wants. So Rav says to Rabbi Yehuda, a man's walking behind a woman, he may look at her in a lustful fashion, thereby eliciting, again, lustful thoughts, which could lead to a variety of different things. So I will say, so it's incredible. So Rav says to Rabbi Yehuda, literally move your feet from in front of Gehenna. So he's saying, he's not calling the woman Gehenna. He's saying, let's move out of the way so that we don't awaken any desires within ourselves. We'll say, it's also, the Lashon is so profound. In order to be successful in life, it's dal kareich mikamei gehenom. You have to actively move yourself out of bad situations. You know, sometimes things happen in life, and because we're put in a certain situation, we figure, okay, I'll just stay here, and whatever it is, I'll summon up the strength within myself to avoid the temptation to sin. In life, the key to success is moving yourself out of bad situations or of potentially bad situations. I think about it in our own lives. How often, if we think about times in which we made mistakes, it's because we allowed ourselves to remain in compromised situations, as opposed to the moment I realize that this is probably not good, dal kareich mikamei gehenom, do something to actively move yourself out of negative circumstances. Amar Leih, Bo says, this is incredible. Shavili says back to him, so this is incredible. So Rabbi says to Rabbi, Rebbe, you taught us that it's not a problem with ksherim. Right? People are ksherim, ultimately, again, are a bit above temptation, nothing to worry about. Amar Leih, mi yemar de ksherim kigon ana va'at elikik. So this is incredible. So Rabbi says back to him, listen, who says we're ksherim? Right? Who says we're ksherim? Yeah, enachinami. People are ksherim, they have to worry about a lot less in life. But who says that we are ksherim? Incredible. Elo kigon mai, kigon Rav Chanina bar Papi v'chaverov. Rather, maybe ksherim are like Rav Papi bar, right? Rav Chanina bar Papi and his friends. Rashi points out who are his friends. Rabbi Tzadok, Rav Kahana. We'll say incredible. So, this is incredible. So sometimes the key to success in life is not to view yourself as a kasher, but to view yourself ultimately again as a basar v'dam, who's subject to wants and temptations, and therefore act accordingly. We're both saying, but that line, dal kareich migamei gehenom, move your feet from in front of Gehenom. Don't allow yourself to remain in compromised circumstances. Incredible. Amrav, malkin al yichud ve'in osran al yichud. We give malkus for yichud, but we won't aser a woman based on yichud. We're both saying, it's very important. So in other words, if a man transgresses yichud, or a woman transgresses yichud, so ultimately we'll give malchus, right? You can give lashes for that, but we do not chas v'shalom go ahead and aser a woman based on yichud. I mean, let's say a woman is alone with another woman and another man, two women with her, which is yichud. We won't aser a woman based on yichud. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi lo, Amar ela b'yichud pnuya. Even when we talk about giving malchus, that's only if a single woman violated the terms of yichud. It's fascinating. We won't give malchus to a married woman who transgresses the laws of yichud. Why not? If you give malchus to a married woman, we'll say, again, what does the velt, right? What's the takeaway message from that? Again, you see a married woman giving malchus. So it sounds like what you're saying is she must have violated something. Otherwise, why are you giving her malchus? And we'll say, obviously, then that's big problems, because then your motzi laz, then what ends up happening is Chasrami casts genealogical aspersions upon her offspring. See, even this concept that we'll give malchus for yichud, that's only for a single woman who transgresses yichud, but not for a married woman. Incredible. So Marzutra, Malki Umachris. Rivzut Marzutra would give malchus, but he would announce why he was giving malchus, so that no one should chas v'shalom think that Allah said the malchus was about something immoral that occurred, but rather it was because of yichud. Ravashi, mar nami lilki v'lachris. So again, Ravashi, why don't you also do that? Give malchus and announce. Amar le'ikah d'shama baha, v'lashan baha. We'll say incredible, right? Because you know what happens. People have selective hearing. So people hear this announcement, they don't hear that announcement. So what are they going to hear? They're going to hear the announcement that so-and-so is getting malchus, right, because she violated yichud. But there's a follow-up announcement. What's the follow-up announcement? She's not getting malchus because we're choshesh that there's any isurim of eshes ish over here. So people are going to hear the first announcement, they're not going to hear the second announcement, and they're still going to walk away with the same erroneous understanding, and again, cast genealogical aspersions over her offspring. So the Gemara says, Amarav, this is incredible, Malkin alo tova hashmua. we flog people, we give malchus, when people are the subject of negative rumors. Negative rumors. Rashi says, "Alo tova shmua mish yotze kol alav shu over averus." We'll say, so if, right, can you, so if there's a kol, if there's a rumor about someone that is over an averus, malkin also, we give him malchus. It might not be, we could institute now, we could say, what did you learn? What did you learn on the OU mission? Right, did you get? So maybe again, a new practice in Kehilas, right? You know, take this back, right? If, again, every week we figure out who's on the bulletin, who are these list of people, Malkin, Alo, Tova, Shmua. Fascinating, can you imagine this? First of all, this only works in organized communities, but it's such a fascinating deterrent, potentially, from negative behavior, right? That if someone is a subject, obviously this would have to be of persistent negative rumors, right? Or persistent rumors about negative behavior, we would go ahead and give malchus about this. Only so again, Abbas, we're going to see. I'm sorry.
Only on the woman, not
that. No. This is anyone. This is now we're transitioning away from yichud, and even the yichud, by the way, even yichud is not just about a woman, right? This is whoever violated yichud would get malchus. The concern was if you're giving malchus to a woman for yichud, does that not cast aspersions then on her offspring? So now the Gemara says we would give malchus for anyone who is the subject of persistent negative rumors. Shneamar. So he quotes over here again. This is by Eli HaKohen. Al banai ki lo tov hashmua asher anochi shomea ma'avirim am Hashem. So this is, remember again, this was Eli's sons Chathni and Pinchas who unfortunately abused their position of power. Ken machlokis exactly what it is that they did. But again, so Eli says, Al banai, know my sons, ki lo tov hashmua. What I hear about you is not good. So the Gemara says, the lashon of al banai, al is lashon of love. Is lashon of a prohibition. In general, again, we know the halacha is that you get malchus, you get lashes for violation of a prohibition. So we see from here that again, malkin al shmua lo tova, that you can administer malchus even for a persistent negative rumor. So Marzucha Mosivla, afsira al kasvei umakri le al banai. So Marzucha, and he would give malchus for someone like this. Literally, again, afsira he would place the afsira is like a saddle. He would place the saddle of the animal, like the things that you use, like to hit the animal to go to move faster. The whip, yeah. So right, he would put that on their shoulders, and he would say this pasuk al banai. Amar Rabba, so Rabba will say back to the halachos of yichud. Bai lo bi'ir in choshem mishum yichud. If a husband is in the city, there's no issue of yichud. This is actually a very important halacha. Like, we don't really have time to go into the actual halacha. I said yichud, but this concept of ba'al be'ir, but it goes both ways. Ishto be'ir, ba'al be'ir. When you have a spouse in the city, the concept of a spouse in the city is, if I'm in a situation where I know my wife could walk in at any time, and again, this is wife or husband, so that what we call imas baila or imas ishto, the fear, quote unquote, that a spouse could walk in at any time, that halacha lemaisa is a deterrent from any type of illicit behavior. So baila be'ir in choshem mishum yichud. So I'll say, by the way, if you think about this, if baila be'ir, imas baila, imas ishto, is enough of a deterrent to sin. So we'll say, so achas kama v'kama, the notion of shivisi Hashem l'negdi summit. Right? So again, the notion that my spouse could walk in any time is enough to go ahead and deter from sinning. So again, achas kama v'kama, the notion, I live in the constant presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rosh Hashem sees everything at all times. This is the opening Mishnah Berurah. Right? This is what it means to live shivisi Hashem l'negdi summit. I'm constantly in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knowing that ultimately should help me build up the resistance to sin as well. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Pesach pasul l'shus harabim in choshem mishum yichud. Similarly, again, if there's a doorway that's open to the public domain, this also is this avoids a yichud situation because halacha l'maisa, where I'm in a place that's accessible to the rabbim. So because of that, ultimately, I'm not going to sin. Rabbi Bi Ichlo Be'er Rabbi Yosef, Basar Dikar Chrifter. I will say an incredible, interesting story over here. So Rabbi Bi went to the house of Rabbi Yosef. He was a guest house of Yosef. Busted the karkrift after they had dinner, literally after they broke bread. So Amaluhu, so what happened? So Rabibi was sitting like in the attic. So Shakuli Dargamituse Bibi. So Rav Yosef said, you know, take the ladder away from the attic. In other words, he didn't want Rav Bibi to be able to come down on his own. So he was going to sleep for the night. Take away the ladder. Right? Why? V'hamar Abba Baila Bi'erin Choshishin. So I will say, so Bipashtos, it seems to be that what Rav Yosef was concerned about was Yichud. Was yichud. So he said, take away the ladder, that way Rabibi is stuck upstairs. What about the fact Baila Bi'er? But Rabbi Yosef, you're right there, so what's the concern? Shani Rabibi, Dishosh Vinise Havi, Vigaisabe. Rabbi Bibi was very friendly with Rav Yosef's wife. They knew each other, right? They had a pre-existing relationship. So interestingly enough, I will say, when there is already like a familiarity between people, it could be that one has to be a bit more machmir with the halachos of Yichud. So therefore, Rav Yosef felt, just to avoid any show or any potential issue of impropriety, he said, just remove the ladder. They say Rav Bibi is there for the night. So Gemara says as follows, Amar Rav Kana, Anoshim Mibachos V'Anoshim Mibifnim, In Choshim Mishim Yichud. So we'll say he's talking about a situation of a chamber, a room within a room. So just quickly, if you have men on the inside, women on the outside, there's no issue of Yichud. Ultimately, again, because we'll see, when the woman is pashas, the man's not going inside. The women are coming from the inside out. And again, remember, one woman with more than one man is not an issue of Yichud. First wide line, Anashim b'fnim v'nashim b'chutz. However, again, if you have halacha l'maisa, men on the inside, women on the outside, so choshim mishum Yichud, that could be a problem of Yichud. Masnisa tana, we learned, masnisa tana ipcha. We'll say in another source, we learned just the opposite. Amra Abaya says, Hasha da amrav kahana hachi, v'tana masnisa ipcha. Now they both say that we have conflicting rulings. Ana na'avid l'chumra. We should just be machmir in both of these situations. Abaye dayer gulfe. So we'll say now the Gemara talks about different things that different rabbanim did in order to avoid yichud situations. So Abaye went ahead and arranged gulfi. Rashi says over here, gulfi, makom kvutas anoshim noshim o l'drasha o l'chupa hayim sader kankanim shel cheres harbe b'neim shim yavo zeh bozeh yikash kishu vishmu kol. He arranged, or it's a mechitza, right? He arranged a row, ultimately, again, of literally earthenware jugs. The idea is, it's actually interesting, that if anyone tried to cross the mechitza, it would make noise. So like, so you would literally hear if there was someone trying to cross over. Rava Dayer Kana. Rava would go ahead and make a wall of reeds, a reed wall. Same idea. If you tried to cross it, ultimately, again, it would make noise. Amar Abin Sakva de Shasa Rigla. He said, Rashi says over here, the Lashon is Sakva de Shasa Rigla. Literally, again, the most difficult time of the year are the Regalim. Why? Because since by Aliyah the Regal, everybody was coming to the Beis HaMikdash, he was concerned that you had a lot of inappropriate mixing between men and women. Good. So again, what's important from these Gemaras, besides obviously the Gemara talking about the halachos of Yichud, is also for us, the context of the discussion is very important. The context of this discussion we just saw before, the Yitzhar never takes a break, right? We paskin halacha l'maisa and hashkafa l'maisa, that again, the Yitzhar, right, even b'shas aninos, lo tavar yitzrei, the Yitzhar is always there. And it's important to understand people are people, and it's incredibly important to understand how we have to try to go ahead and create the right parameters for social interactions between men and women, to recognize that people are people. People are people, and as such, again, people should never think that they're beyond temptation. And therefore, again, the right parameters. What are the right parameters? Okay, so that's going to differ community to community. But Lamaisa, to be vigilant and to understand that Chazal understood that the human nature is that we're drawn to certain things, and to create for ourselves the right parameters so that our communities could exist. B'kdusha b'tara. So the Gemara goes vaita. Let's listen to these stories. So Hanoch Shvuyasa Da'asoy L'Narda. There were these captives who were brought to Nardar. And I will say, incredible. These are Shvuyasa, means these were redeemed captives. These were captives who were redeemed, right? So halavai, in the schus of learning Gemara about redeemed captives for Klal Yisrael, halavai, we should be zoche, and Eretz Hashem, that all of our Shvuyim should be zoche to come home bekarov and b'shalom as well. So there were these Shvuyasa, da'asai l'Nardar. So askinu lebei Rav Amram Chasida. So we'll say, this is the famous Maisa. So they brought these redeemed captives to the house of Rav Amram Chasida. And I will say, just keep in mind, his name is not just Rav Amram. So he didn't just get smicha, right? It's Rav Amram Chasida. And I will say, you don't simply get the title Chasida because you wear a gartel or a shtreimel, right? Right? So again, he's called Chasida because that's descriptive of his behavior, right? That's descriptive of who he was. So again, makes sense. These girls are redeemed. And we'll say, right, these girls are redeemed. They brought them to Rav Amram Chasida. Ashkolu Darga Mikamel. So we'll say, so what happened? So Rav Amram Chasida housed them in the attic of his home. This was Bepashas before they could be, repatriated, right? Before they could be brought back to their families. So they were staying in the attic of Rav Amram Chasida. So what happened? Ashkolu Darga Mikamel. So they took away the ladder from the attic, right? So again, These girls were there, right? They're vulnerable. That no one should take advantage of the situation. So one of the girls was passing by like the entranceway of the upper story. So the light shone. That literally, it means a light emanated from her. Rav Amram Chasida caught the glance of one of these girls. And apparently, she was incredibly beautiful. So Rav Amram Chasida was aroused by this girl. So what did he do? Shakli Rav Amram Ladarga. So Rav Amram single-handedly took the ladder to the attic. Normally, you needed 10 people to move this ladder. It was a big ladder. So normally, you needed 10 people. So what happened? Dayu l'chudei. He moved it all by himself. Salik va'azl. So what happened? So literally, salik. Can you imagine this? There was such a surge of energy that he had to commit an avera with this girl that he single-handedly moved the ladder. So salik va'azl. So he's climbing the ladder. Kimat l'pal gadarga. Ishbach. As he got to the middle of the ladder, he stopped for a moment. Rama kala. He started to yell. Nura Bay Amram. There is a fire in the house of Amram. So he starts yelling out. There's a fire in the house. So this is what happens. People hear this. They hear this call. So who comes running? All of his fellow rabbinic colleagues, right? His talmidim, his friends, his peers. So Asur Abanan. So can you imagine the scene? Everyone comes running in. And what do they find? Obviously, this whole situation does not look good. Right? They know they moved the ladder. It's clear if Amram Chasida moved the ladder himself. He's standing in the middle of the ladder yelling out, "There's a fire in my house. There's a fire in my house." The Rabbanan come see it. They understand already contextually the moment they arrived there. What was the fire? It wasn't an external fire. It was an internal fire of Yitzhar, internal fire of desire that was burning in the house of Rav Amram. So what happens? As Rabbanan, Amrulay, Kisav Sinon. So they said to him, Rav Amram, you're embarrassing us. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for us to see you like this. And it's embarrassing that one of the Rabbanim, right, one of the Chashar, Rav Amram Chasida, the townspeople are there. And they see that Mamish, you're about, you are ready to commit an Avera. Well, it's such an incredible Gemara. Amar Lahu, Mutav Tichvasu Be Amram Ba'alma Hadim, Velo Tichsefu Minei La'alma Da'asi. Ultimately, so much better that you be embarrassed, that Amram be embarrassed, and all of you be embarrassed about my behavior in this world, that I should be embarrassed about my behavior in the world to come. We'll say such an incredible, incredible Gemara. Ashbe Dinyanfuk Mine, Rav Amram made Yitzhar take a shua. We'll talk about this more tomorrow. That it wouldn't tempt him anymore. And Nafuk Mine Ki Amuda Dinura. Ultimately, again, and it merged from his body like a pillar of fire. We'll have to come back to this last piece tomorrow, we'll say, but just understand the profundity of this story. You wonder to yourself, why do Chazal, I could have left this out. I don't know, right? Why do I need to learn this story? Because if Rav Amram Chasida was tempted by this young woman, right? And that's Rav Amram Chasida, then al achas kama v'kama, how real we have to be about our temptations as well. And if Rav Amram Chasida was willing to confront those desires and was even willing to suffer some humiliation in order not to sin, what a tremendous Musar Haskell for us as well. We're Basar V'dam. We have our temptations, we have our desires, and we have to be humble enough to be able to acknowledge them and strong enough to be able to confront them. I will stop over here for today. Tremendous, tremendous. We'll finish Emirat Hashem and Nesefta at some point in Emirat Hashem. Hopefully tomorrow for you in Eretz Yisrael. All right. Shkayach, everyone. All right, Shabbos, say good morning. So we are picking up Emirat Hashem, Pei Aleph from Aleph 81A, 13 lines up from the bottom. So remember, I actually realized I left off yesterday a line ahead of the end of the story of Rav Amram Chasida. So remember again, the dramatic story of Rav Amram Chasida. And again, the Musar Haskel that even a man with smicha, Rav, and even a man with the Torah Shem, you know, with the descriptive name of Chasida, has his struggles with his Yetzer Hara as well. So remember again, we saw the incredible story. He's going running up the ladder to commit the Avera with this young woman, steadies himself in the middle of the ladder. Nura Bebe Amram, Nura Bebe Amram. So there's a, sorry, ki, Nur de Bay Amram. There is a fire in the house of Amram, Again, reference was Yetzer Hara. So the end of the story is, the Gemara says, Ashpe Dinyanpak Mine. So he made his, I should read this line, but he swore that he would never commit an Aveira again. In other words, actually means he swore He swore out his Yetzer Hara. It doesn't sound right, right? But Lemaisa again, in other words, he made an oath that he doesn't want his Yetzer Hara to have an impact upon him anymore. So Nafak Minei Kemudad Nura. The Yetzer Hara came out, the Yetzer Hara looked like a pillar of fire. Amarle, Chazi Da'at Nura Va'anabisra. It's incredible. So he says to the Yetzer Hara, you know, you're a fire and I'm flesh. Now normally the derech is a fire to consume flesh, but yet Va'ana Adif Naminach. But yet I'm better than you. I'm better than you. So profound. In other words, it's such an incredible yisod that there's nothing more powerful than the resolve of a Jew. Right? Isn't that what we're seeing? Isn't that what we're seeing over the course of this incredible mission? There's nothing stronger in this world than the resolve of a Jew. So Avram says, you know, Yitzhara, you're ridiculously powerful. You are all-consuming fire, but you're still not more powerful than me. At the end of the day, I'm a Jew. And my ruts and my will, even though I'm a buster of Adam, nothing could ever vanquish me. Rabbi Meir Avera. It was incredible. Rabbi Meir used to disparage Ovri Avera. He used to disparage sinners. In other words, what does it mean he used to disparage this? Rashi says, he would say, you Ovri Avera, you're weak. You're weak. Resist your temptations. Stand up to your temptations. Yom achad idmilei satan ki isisa behach gisa dinara. This is incredible. So one day, so we'll say, in general, Klal Gadol is, right, we always say, al tivei meloli de nisayon. Don't, Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't bring me to a nisayon. So the mayor, because he was disparaging Ovri Avera as weak, so essentially the Yitzhar says, okay, let's test your resolve. The Yitzhar appeared as a woman, a beautiful woman on the other side of the river. Lo hava mavra. There were no ferries going across the river. So what did he do? Nakit mitzvah v'ka'avar. He was taking the Moses. So there was no ferry, but what there was like a little rope like that was stretched across the river. And what you could do is you could walk the tightrope to get to the other side. So what did Rabbi Meir do? He was so driven to sin with this woman that he literally walked the tightrope to go to the other side of the river. So the Gemara says, Kimata palga mitzra shavke. As he was halfway across the river, the Yetzer Hara released its hold on him, and he realized that it wasn't a woman luring him to the other side, but rather it was the Yetzer Hara. Amar ilav de kamachrizi berakia izarmer b'taraso shavisi ledamach tartimoy. Says Yetzer Hara said, Rabbi Meir, I just want you to know, if they wouldn't announce about you in Shamayim, in the heavens, that be careful with Rabbi Meir and his Torah. In other words, in Shamayim, they say, this guy Rabbi Meir, he's big stuff. He's big stuff. Don't touch him. If they wouldn't make such an announcement in you in Shamayim, I would have reduced you. Literally translated, it means I would have made your blood like tumah, like nothing. Tumah is an insignificant amount of money, right? I would have made your blood. I would have killed you. I would have killed you and decimated you. You're about to say, I just want to point out. Well, let's read one more story. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva hayom mislosis ba'avri avera. Rabbi Akiva also disparaged sinners, and the chap of him was he disparaged sinners. I would say he saw sin as a sign of weakness, and he couldn't understand why can't a person just be a little bit stronger and resist the temptation to sin. So listen to this. Yom achad idmi le satan ki isesa bereish dikla. One day, the satan appeared to him as a beautiful woman who was perched on top of a palm tree. Nakte le dikla vekasalik va'azel. He, Rabbi Akiva, started climbing the palm tree. Now I would say, this is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, right? So I just want to point out, I'm sure you know this, like, Rabbi Akiva, on a daily basis, wasn't found climbing palm trees. Just like Rabbi Meir wasn't usually found walking tightropes across rivers. The point is, the Yetzer Hara burned so intensely within each of them that it drove them to do things that they didn't normally do. Kimat l'pagi didikla, when Rabbi Akiva got up half of the palm tree, so what happens? Shavke, the Yetzer Hara released its hold on him. Amar ilav de michrezi berakia. He zara Rabbi Akiva v'saraso shavisi ledamach tartimoy. So he says same thing. Had they not announced in Shamayim about Rabbi Akiva that be careful with Rabbi Akiva, be careful with Rabbi Akiva is holy. Rabbi Akiva is kodesh kadoshim. I would have literally again reduced you like tumah, like a nothing, like a nothing. So I'll say, so really an incredible, incredible gemara. There's so much to take out of this. First of all, the lashon that the Yetzer Hara takes a hold on you, right? Both of these stories, when the Yetzer Hara releases them, that's the guy lashon shavke. It released them. We know this because we've all experienced this in life. When a person is driven to sin, it's almost as if they're in a trance. You don't see anything else. All you see is the desired result of the chait you're trying to engage in. And it blinds you. It blinds you to everything. It's also not coincidence that both of these stories deal with immorality. Because one of the strongest drives that we have as people, as men, is for immorality. is the taiva forever, the taiva for immoral behavior is true. And that's why, again, right, the Gemara says it's miut begazel, right? Many people are drawn to thievery, but everyone has a desire for immorality. So again, it's important, even great people, even refined people, even holy people, people are people and have those drives within themselves, and it's important to be cognizant of that. The Gemara says as follows. So, plimo, haiva regula memar kol yoma, gira be'ene de satan. Every day this sage Plimo used to say, he used to disparage the Yetzirah. And the way he would disparage it is he would say, there should be an arrow in the eye of the Satan. That's the way he would say it. Arrow in the eye of the Satan. Okay. Chag mal yom de Kippur, have idmi le ka'anyo. So one day the Satan showed up. The Satan showed up at Plimo. And I will say, the other piece you begin to see also is over here is, never be disparaging of people who fail. You know, sometimes we stand in judgment of others to see if people make a mistake. And like we look down on it. Like, I would never do such a thing like that. Like, I can't believe a person was so weak. Never stand in judgment of someone else's failures. Because put any of us in a compromising position, and who knows what kind of decisions that we make. So Plimo every day is a little bit of a different story. Plimo every day is disparaging the Yitzhara. There should be an arrow in the eye of the Yitzhara. So you listen to this. So one day the Satan, it was Erev Yom Kippur, the Satan disguises himself as a pauper and shows up, Kara Abava. So he shows up at the doorstep, at the front door of Plimo. So what happens? So Kara Abava, so he calls out on the doorstep, Afikule Rifta. So they brought him out a loaf of bread. He's a poor man, Erev Yom Kippur, about to go into a fast. So they brought him out a loaf of bread. So the poor man says, the quote unquote poor man says, you know, it's Erev Yom Kippur. What happens in Erev Yom Kippur? Everyone has the sudam of seconds. So you're giving me food to eat on the outside. Everyone eats on the inside, right? Everyone eats in a house, and you're giving me food on the outside. So they brought him inside the house. Ukariva le rifta, and they gave him bread. So apparently, when they invited him inside and gave him a loaf of bread, they didn't seat him at the table. Well, they put him in there, they put him whatever. He was sitting in the doorway, right? So he said, listen, Erev Yom Kippur, Shudam Afsekis, everybody sits at a table, and I'm sitting by myself. So what happens? The Gemara says, Asua Osu It Atocha. They seated him at the table. So listen to this. Hu Yosef, Mali Nafshe Shikhna Vikivi. So the Satan made himself look very, very repulsive. And he filled his body with boils and pus. And in other words, he made himself look very repulsive. Vahava Ka'avid Mili Dema'is. And he was acting in a very disgusting fashion, in a very uncouth fashion. Amarle, so I'll say this is great. Amarle Tiv Shapir. They said to him, sit nicely. So by the way, this is a raya because every single parent has had the same exact discussion, right? Tiv Shapir. So it's good to know that the things that we do are rooted in Chazal. Sit nicely at the table. Tiv Shapir. So Amarle, Havale Kasa. So he said, he asked the Ani, I'm calling him the Ani, but it's the Satan, right? He said, do me a favor, pour me a cup of wine. Yavale Kasa. So they gave him a cup. Or it could also just mean he asked for a cup. But Rashi points out to where mazguli kos. Mazguli means dilute for me a piece of wine. So yavale kasa. I said, what happens? Achmar shada bekicho nachrube. Shada bekicho. So they gave him the cup. What did he do? He began to, I don't know what the technical term is, but cough up phlegm and spit the phlegm into the cup. So nachrube. So at this point in time, Nachru literally means they snorted at him. Now what that means is they gave him a very disapproving look. That's disgusting. That's you're coughing up phlegm and spitting it into a cup at the table. So what happens? The Gemara says, so Nachrube, Shaka Umis. So the Satan pretended like he died. He made himself look like he died. So Shamu da Havakari Plimo Katl Gavra Plimo Katl Gavra. So suddenly again the rumors started swirling. Plimo killed someone, Plimo killed someone. So again, I'll say we're not doing these Gemaras justice because there's so much to speak out over here. Also how rumors start, right? How people rush to judgment without knowing the facts. Here again, Plimo didn't kill anyone, right? Plimo did not kill anyone. Fakir, just the opposite. Plimo was machnes archim, and this was a setup. Just to be clear, right? This is a setup by the Satan. So what happens? So nevertheless, Arak v'tashen afshei besakise. So ultimately, Plimo went to hide. He went to hide because he just didn't know what to do, and he went to hide in the bathroom. Azl basrei nafil kamei. So listen to this. So the ani, apparently there was tchian samesim, right? So the ani got back up, and he went to the bathroom, and once again he laid down dead in front of Plimo in the bathroom. So now Plimo thinks he's being haunted by the ghost of the dead ani, right? Poor man, he can't run away everywhere. So what happens? He chazi dehavi mitzair. When the Satan saw that Plimo was very distressed, galilei nafshei. So the Satan revealed himself, so to speak, he revealed his identity. Amrlei, my time, Amr Tafi. So we'll say, so now, so the Satan reveals, Tada, it's me. It's right, you didn't kill anyone, good news, but it's me, the Satan. So you'll ask, why am I here? So the Satan says, I don't like what you say about me every single day. Every day, Plimo used to say, right, what was the Lashon? Gire be'ene de Satan. There should be an eye, right, there should be an arrow in the eyes of the Satan. So the Satan says, I don't like it. Why do you say that about me every single day? Why do you say that about me? So the Gemara says, my time amr lehaki, the ela hechi ema. So the Satan says, so Plimo says, what should I say? I didn't know the Satan has feelings, right? So what would you like me to say? So the Gemara says, amr le mar, rachmana nig ar be besatan. What you should say is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately again should restrain the Satan. That's what you should say. Let's say, it's incredible. In other words, what the Satan was saying to Plimo, you don't have to make it disparaging about me. In other words, the Satan's like, listen, buddy, I'm doing my job, right? That's why I'm here. I didn't choose this. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in this. So what I do, it's incredible. What the Satan does is Melechas HaKodesh, his holy work. So why are you saying there should be an arrow in my eye every day? You want to daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should restrain me. You want to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hold me back? Totally legitimate. But ultimately, again, why an arrow in my eye? So I'll say, there's again, so much to say about this also. First of all, again, just about the refined speech that we have to try to cultivate with everyone and anyone. Apparently, even with the Satan, one has to be sensitive about how they work, how they operate. But also, the other piece also is to recognize that in life, I'm talking about just like in our day-to-day, when bad things happen, sometimes other people do things to us, and we're hurt and we're upset. You know, Rav Arush writes in Gan Emunah, he says that it's always important to understand, nothing happens to you in life if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it to happen to you. So even let's say someone offends me, someone upsets me, so the reaction is, I'm going to respond. But responding to that person or mistreating that person in turn is really showing that you think that what happened to you came from that person. But it didn't come from that person. It came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as such, again, that's supposed to mold my behavior a little bit. So here, Plimo is speaking harshly about the Satan without recognizing that the Satan himself is all he is a chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not independent of God. He's not operating of his own volition. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen. As such, again, the Satan says to Plimo, refine your speech in the way that you speak to me and really refine your outlook in the way you relate to me. Incredible. So Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Avaragel called, you know, we'll say first wide line, Pei Aleph Amud Beis, 81b. So Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Avaragel called, Idan Dehavis Nafel Ape, Hava Amar Harachaman Yatzil Mitzar. We'll say this is a wild story. All these stories are incredible. So Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, whenever he would say Tachnon, right, he would add in his own supplication. What was his own supplication? Harachaman Yatzilenu Mi'etzahara. Hashem, the compassionate one, should save me from the Yitzahara. Now we'll say, now understand. The Yitzir Hara, when we speak about this, and this is the context we're seeing it, is that so often the Yitzir Hara with which we contend with most is the Yitzir Hara for immorality. The Yitzir Hara for immorality. That's just the nature of man. So what happens? Incredible. Yom Achad Shamatinu Divisu. So one day, his wife heard him saying this. Amra, Michti Hakama Shani Deparish Leminoi, my time Haka Amar Hachi. So this is a wild story. So Mrs. Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi says, listen, my husband hasn't been intimate with me for years. So what is it exactly that he's struggling with his Yetzirah? Right? In other words, what she was saying was, it's not exactly like he demonstrates just like a normal desire for these things. So for intimacy, so what is it exactly that he's struggling with? Also, Mefer Sharaya, don't daven biyichidus at home, right? Go to shul, right? These days, stuff happens when you daven at home, right? So much better to daven in shul. So his wife goes ahead and overhears him daven. He says, like, what is this? What is this? So listen to this. Yomachada havekagaris beginsay. So one day. Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi was davening. Was learning at home. Kashta nafsha chalfa v'tanya kame. So his wife dressed up, really also disguised herself, dressed up in a very beautiful way, and she walked by him. Amar la man at. He said to her, "Who are you?" He didn't recognize his wife. So Amra ana Charusa the Hadri Miyoma. She said, "My name is Charusa." We'll say, "Who is Charusa?" So what she points out is that Charusa was a well-known harlot, right? A well-known harlot, well-known zona. So she says, "My name is Charusa, and I just returned home today." Tava. So he propositioned her. Rabbi Chaver Ashi propositioned her. Amrale, I see Nehelach Lahach Rumana Deresh Tzutzisa. She said, "Fine, but do me a favor. I want that fruit on the top of the tree. Right, Rashi says over here. He says, Deresh Tzutzisa, Anaf Katan Shebegovadach. Okay, not a fruit, a small branch. I want a small branch on the top of the palm tree. Okay. Shavar, Azal Aisinihile. He jumped up and he grabbed the small branch. And I was about to say, once again, displaying an incredible amount of physical strength. So ki asa, I was about to say, so what happens? So they had relations. So ki asa labese, Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi comes home. So havaka shagra devisu tanura. So his wife was firing up the oven. So salik vikayasa vigabe. Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi goes and he sits in the oven. Amrale, my hai. So she says to him, "What are you doing? Right, my high, what are you doing?" Amrale hachi vahachi hava maisa. It was Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi was so consumed with guilt. He tells his wife the entire episode that happened, that he quote unquote sinned with this woman Charusa. He was so overwhelmed by guilt that he just sat in the oven. Amrale anahavi. She said, "Don't be upset. It was me. You didn't commit an avera. That woman with whom you had relations, that woman who you thought was Charusa, it was really me." Lo ashkachba, he didn't believe her. He thought that she was just trying to make him feel better that he didn't really sin. So adiyah v'la simani. Then she gave him some intimate signs that no, it was really her and him who had that act of intimacy. Amar le ana mihal isura ichavni. So Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi said, "Okay, so it turns out that I didn't actually sin, but lamaisa, my kavana was to sin." In other words, the act itself, the physical act itself, turns out not to have been an avera because it was a physical act of intimacy between husband and wife. But it doesn't change the fact that my kavana, that my intention, was to sin with a harlot, was to sin with this lady Charusa. So what happens? The Gemara says, "Kol yom moshe also tzadik hayom is ane." Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi spent the remainder of his days immersed in fasting, ad shemes ba'osa misa, until ultimately, again, he died as a result of it. In other words, let's say he was so broken as a result, ultimately, again, of that event in his life. He never fully recovered. He was upset. Again, I will say, I just want to point out, these are great people. I will say, you know, sometimes the most beautiful thing in general about Torah, about Yiddishkeit, is that even our great people are real. And because they're real, that's why they're role models, right? Like the Ramban brings down, it says explicitly about the chait of Sarah Imenu, in terms of the way that she mistreated Hagar. She was Hagar, right? And ultimately, again, the Ramban points out, same Ramban, the commentary, different Ramban, Avraham Avinu's mistake in relocating in Eretz Canaan, when he comes to Canaan, that he relocates because of famine. Right? Why do they need to point out these imperfections? Because without imperfections, we tend to deify our great people. Once we deify great people, on one hand, it sounds beautiful, but they're no longer role models for us, right? Yes?
He was also Paresh from her, wasn't that?
He was also Parish correct. So in other words, there's a lot in this story, by the way. I to me, the incredible Moser Haskell in the story is communication is one of the most important components of marriage. Right? In other words, if Mrs. Rechia Bar-Ashi doesn't understand why her husband is saying this, there's a much better idea than dressing up as a well-known harlot, which is, and it's much easier also, have a conversation. Right? By the way, honey, I overheard you saying this in Tachanon, right? What is it that you're struggling with? Do you want to talk about it? In other words, there's in general in these stories, there's much to unpack and there are many lessons to be learned. But specifically in marriage dynamics, the need for open communication is incredibly important. Now, Bosa, the Gemara says as follows. Now, remember, what broke Reb Chaya Bar-Ashi more than anything was the fact that even though he didn't end up physically committing an Aveira, his Kavana was to commit an Aveira. And that broke him. Why? The Gemara says, Desanyo, Isha Aveiram, Vashem Yislach Lo. So we'll say, so remember again, the Pasuk says, this is talking about a woman who made a neder. Now remember again, when a woman makes a neder, her husband has power of revocation. So the way the Torah phrases it is, her husband revoked the neder, Vashem Yislach Lo, but Hashem will forgive her. Now we'll say, what's the pshat? In other words, if the neder was revoked, then why the need for forgiveness? To which the Gemara says, "What is the pasuk talking about?" Beisha shenadra benazir v'shama bayla v'heferla. So we'll say, "What's the story? What's the context?" A woman made a neder in Nazirus, and what happened? Her husband heard, and he annulled it. V'hi lo yada shehaferla bayla. She did not know that it was annulled. V'haisa shosiyam mitabel mason. So Rebbe says, so this is incredible. So what happens? So you can imagine Reuven's married to Rachel, right? Rachel goes ahead and makes a neder nezirus. Reuven hears about it. He annuls it. Only one issue. Reuven never told Rachel that he annulled it, which is fine. The annulment still works. The annulment still works. What happens? Rachel, thinking that she's a nezira, goes out and drinks wine. Rebbe says, in reality, did she violate anything? No. Why? Because the neder nezirus was annulled. But nevertheless, she didn't know it. So the Torah says there is an element of atonement necessary when you think you violated something, even though it turns out that you did. In other words, when your kavana, when your intent was to violate something, even if it turns out that you didn't actually violate, there is some level of liability on some level. There is some level of liability. And that's what really broke the heart of Rabbi Chaya Bar-Ashi, the knowledge that although he didn't actually sin, there was a kavana, there was an intent to ultimately sin. Rabbi Akiva kevmat lahi psukav abachi. Rabbi Akiva, when he would get to this pasuk, he would cry. Amar umamishin is kavin lechol baser chazir va'ala biyado baser ta'ala. So we'll say, if a person has a mind to eat chazir, and it turns out that he doesn't eat chazir, he eats a lamb, right? He's a lamb chop instead of chazir. Amar torah tzvicha kapara. The Torah says you still need kapara. As we'll say, when you have intent to sin, even though you don't actually sin, there is still an element of kapara, of atonement, which is absolutely and unequivocally necessary. He goes on, he says, right? Me, Osili Gemara says, Mishin is kabim lecho baser chazer, va'allah biyado baser chazer, achas kama v'kama. And I will say, the Morse Rabbi Akiva said, if you have intent to eat chazer, and what? You actually do eat chazer, how much more so you require atonement. So I will say a really incredible, incredible idea. The Gemara highlighting this concept that when a person has intent to sin, even if they don't actually end up actualizing that intent, there is still some level of liability. That our aspirational goal, I'll say, is not just purity of action, but it's purity of intent as well. Now, obviously, again, intent to sin is not the same thing as sinning itself, but nevertheless, you see that there is some quasi-liability for intent to sin, even if there is no, what we'll call it, actualization of that intent. So the Gemara goes right there. If a person ultimately again had intention to go and eat shuman, shuman is fat, shuman is permitted fat, and it turns out they ate chalev. So in this case, we'll say a person had a mind to do something mutter, eat shuman, and he accidentally ended up consuming chalev. Amra Torah, the Torah says, V'lo yada v'ashem v'nasa avono. Torah says, listen, you didn't know what you were doing, but there is still some level of culpability. So Mishnah is kabin lechochel va'ala biaduchel va'lachas kama v'kama. Then all the more so, what do I say? All the more so, if somebody had intent to sin and they actually end up sinning, alachas kama v'kama. Isi ben Yehuda Omer v'lo yada va'ashem v'nasa avono al davar ze yidvu kol hadvuyim. Over this, ultimately, again, all guilty parties. Rashi says over here, kol advuyim shiyesh lahem leiv lidvos yidvu azeh shenu miskavim v'yesh kainesios avon. So we'll say, this is actually a very beautiful conclusion to this discussion. Isi ben Yehuda said, v'lo yada v'ashem v'nasa avono. So we'll say, what does the little apostle mean? V'lo yada? I didn't know what I was doing. I did not know what I was doing. Va'ashem, but there was still liability. I ended up doing something wrong. V'nasa avono. There is still culpability and liability for this. So about this, again, everyone should set heart. As I was saying, there is, like, it's an incredible thing that at the end of the day, sometimes we say to ourselves, you know, accidents happen, but it's important to understand that lemaisa, you're still chayiv, there's still liability for shogeg also. Right? In halacha, the only time that you're totally potter is when it's ones. Total extenuating circumstances beyond your sphere of control or influence. But shogeg, accidents, I am responsible. There is some level of liability as well. See, even if a person doesn't have intent to sin, but they actually end up sinning, what you see is there is a degree of liability and culpability for that. The goal, we'll say, why? Because we assume that when do mistakes happen? We'll say, when do mistakes happen? When there's not enough vigilance. Right? In other words, like the Imam Masechet Makkos says, like, the iboy le liyune. Should be more careful. Should be more careful. It's a heightened level of vigilance in which we are required to go ahead and approach life. That lemais, again, not only are we supposed to be actionally pure, but we're supposed to get to a level where even our intentions are purified as well. And when there is purity of intention, then ultimately, again, even shogeg doesn't happen. Incredible, incredible Gemara. I will say incredible. Let's go back now to the halachic piece of this Gemara. Misyachid adam imimo. So let's remember again, once upon a time, right, it feels like many years ago, but it was just yesterday, we actually were learning the sugya of yichud. Right? So again, so the Mishnah said, a person is permitted to have yichud with his mother. So the Gemara says, Amrav Yehuda Amrav Asi, Misyachid adam imachoso, vidar imimo, v'imbito. A person is permitted to have yichud with his sister. With his sister, he could live with his mother and with his daughter. And I will say, as I mentioned in yesterday's daf, the novelty over here is what? Again, in general, the way the laws of yichud work is anyone who is an erva to you, in other words, anyone whom you cannot affect kiddushin with, right? So lemaisa, again, there's an iser yichud. That's the way it works. So what's interesting is a mother, a daughter, a sister should fall into these same categories, yet they don't. Right? One is permitted to be alone with these women. So ki amra kame de shmuel amra asr les yachin in karaya shabbatora vafilu in behema. Wow. So I'll say, so Shmuel said, at the end of the day, Shmuel disagreed. Shmuel said the Isra Yichud actually devolves upon all arayos, all forbidden relationships, even with animals. So tinam nisachid adamim imo v'im bito v'yashinu ha-mikir ha-basar tiyufta de Shmuel. But 1 second, the Mishnah explicitly says, a person is permitted to be alone with his mother, with his daughter, and again, halacha l'maisa, they're even allowed to sleep in the same bed, with close proximity to each other. Bikirub basra. Kirub basra means even without clothing. And it's mutter. Tiyuf to the Shmuel. This would refute the opinion of Shmuel. Amel HaShmuel, where Shmuel will say, L'tameich, hadisanya achoso, v'chamoso, ushar kalaraya shavatora, ein misyachid bohem ela be'edin. Yet Shmuel will say as follows. What about the following braisa that says, right, one's sister, chamoso, all the other arayos in the Torah, a person is not permitted to have yuchud with them except edin. Now, of course, if you have Eidim, there's not Yichud. But it means is you can't be alone with them except if there are Eidim. So where it says, Be'edim in shalom, be'edim lo. Only with Eidim, not without Eidim. Ela tanoihi. In reality, this is a machlokes tanoim. The sign, Amar Rabbi Meir. Hizaru bi mipnei biti. And I will say, very, very strange gemaras over here. Rabbi Meir says, make sure that I am careful with my daughter. With my daughter. Now, both say, what does that mean? So if you take a look, Amar Rabbi Tarfon, La'an shi beso, hizaru bi lios imi, vim ka, sorry, that's kalasi, that's the next one. See, he was saying over here, so Rabbi Meir says, be careful that I shouldn't be alone with my daughter. Rabbi Tarfon says, hizaru bi mipnei kalasi, be careful with me because of my daughter alone. I both saying that, what does it mean, be careful with me? In other words, what he's saying is, I'm careful not to have yichud even with my daughter. And I'm careful not to have yichud even with my daughter-in-law. They're not saying chas v'shalom, right? Again, I will say, just to be clear, Remeir is not saying, don't leave me alone with my daughter, chas v'shalom, because something is going to happen. He's trying to make a halachic point, that even with my daughter, there is an isr yichud, right? Rabbi Tarfon ultimately is saying, be careful, I'm not going to be alone with my daughter-in-law, because there is an isr yichud even with my daughter-in-law. Ligleg alav osa talmud. So one of the talmidim heard him say this, heard Rabbi Tarfon say this, and he made fun of him. Once again, I will say, you're so weak. You're so, what are you talking about? Ridiculous. Yichud with your daughter, yichud with your daughter-in-law. What are you talking about over here? So Gemara says, Amrabi Avo, Amrabi Chanina ben Gamliel, lo hayu yamim mu'atim, ad shenichshal oso tamid bechamoso. It was only a couple of weeks that went by until this particular Talmud committed an immoral act with his mother-in-law. With his mother-in-law. I was going to say, this goes back to the motif that we spoke about before, which is that what? Which is that Lamaisa, don't disparage people who are struggling with the Yetzirah. Right? Don't disparage it. And don't think, in our sons, you can look down on that and say, ridiculous, such a struggle like that. Such a base individual. What kind of person struggles with things like that? Right? We've seen again that never ends well when you are disparaging of those who struggle. Because what that seems to indicate is that you're putting yourself on a higher spiritual and moral pedestal. And it's only a matter of time. Those who hold themselves in too high of esteem, thinking that they're so strong, are the first to fall. Incredible. So Limar goes weiter. Now, what about the statement we saw before that Rehu said Nimer Ravasi that that Shmuel said even with a behemoth you can't even be alone with a behemoth. So Abaye, so the Gemara says Abaye Mechlale Mikulei Dibra. So we'll say if you take a look at Rashi over here, so Rashi says Mechlale Mikulei Dibra Kishai Holich Basada Begirs LeYachid Hayamonea Behemos Mikol Asada. So ultimately, this is incredible. So he says Abaye, whenever he would go ahead and go out into the field, right, to think about his learning, right, ultimately what would happen? To be alone, to think about his learning, he would prevent any of the animals from being there. Then Rashi has a different gear. He says, "Davar acher shino maniach lios roa v'behemos b'sada acher." B'sada acher, he wouldn't allow the shepherds to be alone in the fields. Ultimately, again with the animals. Rav Sheshes, Marvelei Mitzra, Rav Chaim Ado, Ikla Rav Kana Lepum Nara, Chazid Yosef. So we'll say. So I just want to point out what is going on over here. The animals, right? The animals that literally we'll say again the immorality thing. Could totally relate to, right? I understand that we're people, we're human beings, we have these drives and desires. But the animals, it just seems like a little bit of a far stretch. I would say, so perhaps the pshat is like this, right? Again, remember, who is most prone to be alone with animals, right? Shepherds. So what's the chap of shepherding, right? What's the chap of shepherding? The whole chap of shepherding, right? What does David HaMelech say? David HaMelech says, Mizmor le David, Hashem roi lo echsar. Right, Hashem is my shepherd. David HaMelech was the first person to ever refer to the Ribbono Shel Olam as a shepherd. Right? Why is a shepherd? The Malbim points out on that pasuk so beautiful. The Malbim says, David HaMelech said, I had one simple career aspiration in life. Right? And that was to be a shepherd. That's all I wanted in life was to be a shepherd. David HaMelech, why do you want to be a shepherd? Two reasons you want to be a shepherd. Number one, there's no people around. Right, David HaMelech did not have the easiest time with familial relationships, both when he was young as well as when he was king. Right, so there's no people around. You don't have to deal with treachery. You don't have to deal with backstabbing. You don't have to deal with people jockeying for different positions or power. It's good to be alone. Right? Also, there's time to think, and ultimately, it's time to be with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But I'll say, if you're not David HaMelech, shepherding also leaves you with a lot of time on your hands. Right, you're idle. You're idle a lot. Right, you're sitting there. The flock is doing its thing, and what are you doing? You're watching. So the Mishnah Shalom brings down that what gets people into the most trouble in life? Too much free time. The best thing in life is to be busy. The Piagetzna, very quickly, the Piagetzna, Hashem Yikom Damo. Reklonim's Kama Shapira writes in his Sefer B'nei Machshava Tova, the Piagetzna writes that one of the most important things to ensure that a person lives successfully is make sure every part of your day is scheduled. He said there should be no unscheduled time. Now, to be clear, the Piagetzna is not saying you have to be learning the whole day. He writes explicitly, he says, if you want to hang out with your friends, no problem. Put that in the schedule. Put that in the schedule, right? From 7 to 8 p.m. on Tuesdays, hanging out with friends. No problem. But put a start time, put an end time. You want to eat dinner with your family? Beautiful. Absolutely. Put a start time, put an end time. Everything in life has to be scheduled. Because if you have unscheduled, unstructured time, the Piagetsla says, that is a recipe for disaster. And we know it from our own lives. So also, I think that's the pshat over here also. What are you talking about? That people are going to commit avarice with animals? That the bestiality, I will say, is the most unnatural thing a person could ever think about, right? The other arayas, somehow, okay, whatever, right? But bestiality, balamayos tepshat, when you're sitting in the field and you are not doing anything and you are idle, so suddenly again, sometimes the craziest, most far removed things suddenly become possible. A Musar Haskil about the need to be properly structured and properly scheduled every moment of the day. Gemara goes right there. Rav Chana min Arda, ikal Rav Chana l'pum naro. So what happened? Rav Chana min Arda went to Rav Chana l'pum naro, chazi di yosevik hagaras. The kaima behema kame. So he said that he was sitting and learning, right? And there was a behema in front of him. Amar leilo, sar lamar filin behema. Don't hold like Shmuel that you can't be alone even with an animal. So amar leilo, lav adatoi. He said, okay, I wasn't even cognizant of it. I wasn't even thinking about it. Amar rava, misyachid adam im shtei yevamas, vim shtei tsaras, im isha vechamosa, im isha ubas bailo, im isha vitinokes, sheodas tam bia, vein moseres atzmalavir. So we'll say, this is fascinating. And this is actually halacha lemaisa. Shabbos says, so remember, we didn't, it's actually interesting, although this is the entire sugya of Yichud, this is it. We didn't, of course, do it halachic justice so much. I'll say, you will agree, these are the days where you're like Rav Meir Shapira, like Lublina Rav, Zechitzad V'Kadosh Racha. There are certain days where you should have gone with Amud Yomi. Right? Certain days where it would have been great to have a block of time to go ahead and get through a sugya of this. What I'll say, what I'll point out is, remember, so this is very important. Rava comes along and says as follows. Rava says, you are permitted to have yichud with two yavamas. Remember, I'm going to say, who are two yavamas? Those are two co-wives. Two co-wives, right? Or, right, shtei tsaras. Sister-in-law, right? Or shtei tsaras, two co-wives. Isha v'chamosa, a woman and her mother-in-law. A woman and the daughter of her husband. A woman with a young girl who is old enough to know what bia is, but is not going to give herself over to engage in it. We'll say, why? What's the pshat? The whole yisod over here of yichud is a concern that lamaisa, a person is going to engage in inappropriate, immoral activity. See, even with two women, right, that concern was still there. So where is the concern obviated? In a situation where you have two women who have a natural animosity towards each other. All of these relationships are women who have an inherent animosity because, again, their positions kind of conflict with one another. So ultimately, the Gemara is just saying over there, Allah Kalamaisa, when you have a situation like that, there is no Isra Yichud. Incredible. Higdilu ze yashim biksusa. So we'll say, so remember again, the Mishnah went so far to say in a very dramatic Gemara as well. Again, I'll just point out all of these cases, so you can understand, right? The co-wives, right? The woman and her mother-in-law, the woman im bas, right? A woman with her husband's daughter. These are all naturally contentious relationships. And a woman with a child, he'll say, what, right? What happens with children? What happens with children? So we know, again, the most incredible thing about children is children talk about everything, right? So what a child sees, that's why, again, it's the best mussar to running an appropriate home is knowing that when your kid goes to school, what are they going to talk about? What are they going to talk about? Anything and everything they've seen in your house. So it's a good reason to kind of keep your house in order because your kid is going to share what you don't want them to share. So the idea here is on all of these cases, if there is yichud, a person is not going to end up sinning because they know that whatever they do behind closed doors ultimately is going to come out. Okay, we'll say let's finish off the sugya. So Gemara said we have a couple of minutes. I don't want Rabbi Motzin to give me Musar about starting chakras again late. So, right, so we'll finish this for the next few minutes. So Musar says as follows. So remember again, how did the Mishnah end? So the Mishnah said, and I will say, obviously, this is also reflecting different societal norms. So the Gemara says that halacha lemaisa, a man is permitted to have yichud with his mother and with his daughter. And they're even permitted to sleep in the same bed, even bekirav basar. Kirav basar means even without clothing. Without clothing in the same bed, until when? Higdila. Until ultimately, again, let's say a father with his daughter, until the daughter becomes of age. Right? At that point, they're still permitted to sleep in the same bed, but halacha lemaisa, both have to be clothed. Both have to be clothed. So the Gemara says, okay, so Higdila is Lashon of come of age. Kama. So what's the definition of coming of age? So Rav Ada Bar Ava. So Amar Rav Ada Bar Rav Aza. Amar Rav Asi. Tinok is bas teisha shanav yom echad. So for a girl, it's 9 years old in one day. Tinok ben shteinas shanav yom echad. For a boy, 12 years old in one day. Ikadami, others say tinok is bas shteinas shanav yom echad. Others say for a girl, it's 12 years old in one day. So that's adulthood. That's adulthood. Tinok ben shloshes rev yom echad. And for a boy, ultimately 13 years old in one day. So adulthood. So we'll say both of them, really, the Gemara says, it's not as much a din in age as much as it is a din in physical maturation. That once ultimately, again, there's physical maturation, then halacha l'maisa, if they sleep together in the same bed, everybody should be clothed. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chista, lo shanu ela shena bo shalamo lifan of arum. So it's interesting. Really, what's the indicator? When a girl is young enough that she doesn't have any embarrassment about standing in front of her father unclothed, right? So ultimately, again, that's the age where they're permitted to sleep in the same bed even without clothing. Aval bo shalamo lifan of aser. But if she is embarrassed to stand in front of his father or her father unclothed, ultimately, it's aser. My time, what's the reason? Yetzer al bisha. Rabbi say this is incredible. When do we know, what's the age of indicative of where a child becomes somewhat conscious of sexuality? When is that? At the age in which they are embarrassed or aware to walk around unclothed. Rabbi say again, this all goes back to Adam and Chava, right? What was the first indication that Adam and Chava had fundamentally changed their spiritual makeup? And now the Yitzhahara was not something external, but something internal. When was that? Right? Vayedu kerumim. They recognized that they were unclothed. That was the moment that human sexuality became tainted with something illicit. So the Gemara says, this is incredible. So to this very day, at what point in time really is it appropriate for even a father and a daughter to have a heightened sense of tznius between them? When the girl is old enough that she recognizes, I shouldn't be unclothed in front of my father. Incredible. Avavosha, right? The Yeser Albasha. Ravachar Abba Ikla Lebe Rav Chista Chasnei. Sebo says into the story. So Rav Acha bar Abba went to the house of Rav Chista, his father-in-law. Shachle lebar bartei, osu v'kanfei. Sebo says, so what happened? Rav Acha bar Abba took his granddaughter. This is incredible. He took his granddaughter. Osvu v'kanfei literally means he put her in his cloak. In other words, he held her close to him. Armer leilo, sarval and mar demikatsha. Sebo says, incredible. So they said to Rav Acha bar Abba, the Zayda. They said to the Zayda, you know she's a married woman. So apparently, her father had given her over in kiddushin. Right, a father has the ability to mekadish his ketana daughter. Amar le avar to lecha adraf. Darmei v'huda maravi tim rabbi lazer asal adam sheikadish bidukishi ketana. All right, we'll have to stop over here. All right, so we'll say so. We tried to finish the masechta here in Eretz Yisrael. All right, we tried, but the Baal Shalom had different plans. You know, this is a good musar. Truth is in life. It's not really about reaching the destination, but it's about putting in the hishtalas, putting in the effort. Sometimes, again, we have a vision for what we want to accomplish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a different vision for us. So we wanted to finish the Masechta. All right, so we'll still make a scene on Masechta's Tainus. Baruch Hashem. But it has to be Kiddush Nemetz. We'll wait till tomorrow. We'll say it's been an incredible, incredible schos. Baruch Hashem to learn with all of you each and every day here in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Special thank you to Rabbi Berman for opening up the OU Center for us bright and early. It wasn't even bright. It was dark, right? Dark and late or dark and early. And for setting up the coffee, Baruch Hashem, thank you, Rabbi Berman. We appreciate this so much. Chavra Halavai, we should be Zohar Meretz Hashem to continue to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Halavai, we should be Zohar Meretz Hashem to learn in the shade of the walls of the Bayis Shlishi in here, Rabbi Yameinu. Amen.